those yours?
Okay. That's yours. All right. So what are we doing?
I don't know. Everybody comfortable? As they say down Tennessee, how y'all doing? I'm moved by all the things that are part of the service here. May I borrow that?
You may.
Reflections. It says reflections. In the first hymn, or in the first reading, it talked about a desire for the adventure of life lived in your light. That's a wonderful phrase to my heart. It brings out in me the fact that God has something planned so much greater than I've ever imagined. You know, my friend Bruce used to say, you can't outgive God. And if you had a blank check and God said, fill it out for any amount you can dream of, and you did, He would always shortchange yourself. The other was from each of the scriptures that you read. And I love the part about the jars of clay. And I've never realized that truly we are jars of clay. As we have a heart of the Lord, we have this fragile if we ever think we're bulletproof in Fort Knox and we can walk around and nothing will ever affect us, then God shows us that that's not so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so those are my reflections so far.
Yeah.
How am I doing?
Good. That's the sort of thing we came here to share. Jeff and I talked very briefly on the phone week and a half ago about where we might go. And Jeff came up with this. He said, you know, the question, given our relationship, the question for y'all is, why not you? We have both been transformed. We have both lived lives in this world, and we have both been transported on our way to the next world. Thanks be to God. And we share those stories with one another. So we came to share a little of that today, and we came to bring you hope. We came to say, look, if God can do what God is doing in the life of Jeff Dayton and Bill Good, He can certainly do far better in you. So, Jeff, there's a song that I'd love for you to play all or a bit of that kind of talks about that, talks about your journey, and it's called Wired That Way.
Oh, okay. I'd love to. The song is about, well, you know, in Nashville, I never like it when guys say, here's the song I wrote, and it's about this, and they go, then this happens, and that happens. It's like, hush and sing. So, I am a dreamer, a long shot believer who never let no slow me down. I'm someone who dances on high skinny branches with barely one fear of the ground. 'Cause when you feel something down in your heart pumping, you listen what it has to say. Forgetting nomenclature, it's just human nature to tell you I'm wired that way. I know I'm imperfect and sometimes uncertain. I'm hoping that makes me sublime. 'Cause there's no point in faking some weak imitation of the me that the man had in mind. 'Cause when you feel something down in your heart pumping, you listen what it has to say. So don't bother asking the wind to blow backwards or waiting on cowboys to change. Forgetting nomenclature, it's just human nature, and thank God I'm wired that way.
I do.
Be the first on your block to use nomenclature in a song.
Yeah.
That always gets a response. For me, that says, I know, especially the verse, I know I'm imperfect and sometimes uncertain. This was a real confessional for me. But I'm hoping that that's okay. I'm hoping that makes me sublime. Sublime is a word that it's that humble, pure kind of, there's really not much to it, but it's a wonderful little thing, you know?
It's another word you don't find often in a song, I might add.
Oh, good. Well, my English teacher, Bill Glenn, at Blake School would be very happy to hear that.
Hey, I don't want to put you too much on the spot. I don't want you to give up any more than you want to give up. Could you just describe a little bit kind of your journey toward faith and as it's developed?
All right. Youngster, grew up in a small church on the corner of Old Crystal Bay Road and Fox Street. And I don't even know if it had a name. I think it was a Presbyterian church. And our pastor was named Leon B. Gladish. I'll never forget his name. And as we got, as the church grew, it built a new church. And today it's an AA clubhouse, which is pretty cool. And I've been able to drive by and say hi to some folks and tell them, I used to go to church here. Acolyte, choir member, youth group member, all of the above. Felt somewhat of a connection, especially to the music. And in the Episcopal church that we moved to, St. Martin's by the Lake, I remember there was a prayer hymn for peace that we sang at the end of every service. And I have a heart of a hippie, as you probably remember when I had long hair.
remember when you had hair.
Yeah, like, easy, buddy.
Yeah.
Come on now. You know, between us, we still don't have a full head.
That's true.
And anyhow, as a youngster, I remember asking the Lord to come into my heart. I was about maybe 14 or 15, and I was in my bedroom, and I was really afraid the roof was going to fly off and the walls were going to blow down, and it was going to be something really, really scary. And instead, it was like total silence. I went, "That's it? Okay, I'm going back to sleep." And that seed, you know, that seed falls down deep in between rocks, but one day it grows up and parts the rocks. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking as a songwriter now. Yeah. It will split a mountain. And the mountain of my life needed to be split open because I was just as we talked about in our readings. You know, sometimes we get so self-obsessed, we get so worried, we get so consumed with what's next for us that we forget that there's a greater purpose. Today, you know, I've had a real change, and it's not just from getting old. You know, I woke up this morning and I realized I'm older than I've ever been. And I shared that last night at our show in Sedona, and our steel player said, "Yeah, and you're younger than you'll ever be." I guess what it takes is there's a song. I should probably sing some of it. Is that all right?
Yeah.
To kind of illustrate this?
Yep.
Long Lake, Minnesota. The town where I grew up is building houses. Two by fours and boards were everywhere. So I dragged a pile of scrap into my backyard. I didn't have a clue and didn't care. I saw it and I pounded till them nails were bent and rounded, and I had walls and a roof above my head. It was kind of cramped inside, nails stuck through like porcupines, but Daddy took one look and smiled and said, "Son, I see you're blessed with the hand of the carpenter." After Daddy left, did some searching, some learning and some churching and some time, wondering what on earth I was here on earth for, till the answer rolled around one Friday night. I came to in the slammer, beaten down by my own hammer, out of strength and almost out of hope. My genius and my habits had tossed me down the rapids of a raging rocky river with no boat, and the only hand keeping me afloat was the hand of the carpenter. I don't want the way I used to want it, 'cause I don't like the price I had to pay. I'm stubborn and I'm dumb. Smack that hammer on my thumb. Thank God I survived all my mistakes. So from now on I'm sticking to the blueprints and praying that I'm heaven bound someday, so I can see my dad and get to shake at the hand of the carpenter. Yeah, until that day I'm holding on to faith and the hand of the carpenter.
Yeah.
That tell it?
That tells it.
Okay. That's basically the Reader's Digest version of, that line about my genius and my habits that tossed me down the rapids of a raging rocky river with no boat. You know, anytime I think I want that back again, I always ask myself, how's that working, genius?
I hear you.
You know, absolutely. I had to change. I had to have a spiritual change. I had to become a spiritual man in a material world. And I'm not talking Cyndi Lauper here. Today I'm a spiritual man. And what Bill mentioned earlier, I by no means like, walking on water. I ain't no holy man, you know. What I am is a human being who loves God and loves his son and loves the life I get to live doing this. And I've had so many times. I was on an airplane the other day on Frontier coming from Colorado Springs down here, and this one old guy was really irate, and we had to wait for a part. We were an hour and a half on the tarmac waiting for a part to be driven from Denver to Colorado Springs so it could go under the plane and fly to Phoenix and fix the plane that was here. And this guy was not happy. He was so unhappy that he got up and he went up front and he cussed out the flight attendants loudly. And then when they came back with an announcement, and he just barked out some kind of another foul mouth comment, and I was like, okay, one more of those, and I'm going to take you off the plane myself. But I walked up front to the girls, and I said, I had a friend that did this to me once. He put his hand on my shoulder. I just went up, and I said, you know, don't worry about it. It takes all kinds to make a world, and he's just another one. And, you know, it's all going to be okay. You're not the problem. You're just the mouthpiece, you know, and I understand. Hang in there and have a good day. And the girl was so overcome that she wanted my autograph. She hugged me when I got off. I had my arms full of guitars and stuff, and she's reaching around me going, thank you so much. And I said, well, you know, the thing is, it's free to be nice. It doesn't cost a thing to be nice. If you ever drove in Branson, Missouri during the heyday, anybody here ever go to Branson and have to drive in that traffic? You know what they did there to create a solution to that problem? They wave you in. You see a car on the side of the road, you stop, you say, come on in. And that's a wonderful spiritual gesture. Oh, there you go.
Courtesy is incredibly spiritual.
It is, yeah.
There's something here that I'm hearing from you, and it's something that you guys have heard from me over and over again. I preach this, but let's just bring it right out here. You talked about being self-obsessed at one point and being on a journey and the transformation. And for me, what comes, and I know this is true for you too, what the key is here is letting go. The key is just to just let go of all of that stuff. Let go of your need to control. Let go of your need to be the boss. Let go of the need to be king of your world. Because what came to me at one point is, if I'm king of my world, this is a pretty bad kingdom, you know. And you have a song that I'd really like to hear part of. And it's called The Sound of Let It Go.
Oh, okay, sure. I kind of thought you were going there.
Yeah.
When you started talking about letting go, he must be talking about
it. It wasn't very subtle, was it?
It's all right. I was listening. It started with a sigh and a whispered prayer, as soft as autumn colors falling through the air, and a change of heart went blowing through my soul. And on that wind I heard it, the sound of letting go. With the rise and fall of a cotton sheet, I had a dream about tomorrow and a good night's sleep. It only took forgiveness and a brand new song arose, ringing through the heavens to the sound of letting go. I was breaking through a chain, being reborn in the rain, and leaving yesterday to live again. Breathing out, breathing in. I fought with all my might, trapped there in a web, when all that I was held by was a single silken thread. And all he took forgiveness, yeah, and a brand new song arose, sweet as any hymn in heaven, the sound of letting go.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. That letting go is the key. I mean, for me, if I'm almighty, all-powerful, if I'm in charge, and you know, doggone it, today's going to go my way, and I have a plan for today, and this is my plan, and you know, that one guy told me a long time ago, he said, you want to give God a good laugh, tell him what your plans are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that in here, because you have wonderful pastors, Ken and Bill here.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's so good to see familiar faces in the congregation today. So many of you, and it's awesome to be back in the church where my little girl was baptized 29 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love hearing Dorothy play. God bless you, my dear. I'm just going to reflect a little bit here, you know, and Debbie leading the choir, and Carol is here, and Jim's here, Captain Jim. All right. You know, there's so many. I don't know. Go on. Maybe I'll talk about it tonight at the concert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just glad you're here.
Thank you. Actually, Debbie and Carrie are going to be at the concert tonight. If you want to say hi to them, my first wife, Debbie Dayton. Yeah. How are we doing?
I think we're doing fine.
Are we doing okay?
How? I guess we asked them, huh?
Well, I should, because that's always what we want to hear back as leaders.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We want to. I don't want to just talk at you and have you go, "Gee, I got to go." Yeah. You know. Anybody want to respond? Let's take a.
Yeah.
Should we go out on a skinny branch?
Yeah.
Who has something they want to respond with or a question they want to ask? I mean, it's not about how to be cool and sit in front of a microphone, but what about something you've been going through in your life? Can we reflect on that? I forgot we were Presbyterians.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes what
just can't get those hands above the shoulders.
Oh, it's just
doesn't happen.
You know, I play in my band in Arizona. Or where do I live? What day is it?
Yeah,
where
Tennessee.
Am I? In Tennessee, I belong to Brentwood United Methodist, and I'm a Methoteriopilian. We have a service called Awakening. It's much more of a kind of a praise and worship service like we have next door. Mm-hmm. And there's some hands in the air, you know, and some people yelling amen. It's kind of a southern thing. And then you get back here and it's sort of somewhat reserved.
Yeah.
You know, up in Minnesota, I say, you know, you heard about the Norwegian that loved his wife so much he almost told her. he said, look, I told you I loved you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know. So don't feel shy, I hope I don't put you on the spot, but I love expressing the fact that I have a life today that's better than it's ever been and not nearly as good as it's going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how, that just came to me like that. Today I was driving under cover of darkness from Sedona and coming down the hill and all there were silhouettes and the light was just coming up in the east and I was praying my thanks for the bountiful 2 weeks I've had and I was just barely finishing, and God burst in on the, and he said, interrupted me. He said, you think that's good? Wait till you see what we got coming. You know, that message to me propels me forward. I have to have a message of hope in my heart. And I choose to believe that. Mm-hmm. I have a choice today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if God can do that with me and with Bill, and he can give us something to live with instead of fighting, like, I swam upstream. Man, I swam upstream. You know, but today, I just sort of like groove on the wave, you know. Like I'm surfing on the wave and I'm going, where are we going today, God? And I asked him to put me where he wants me, show me what to do.
And I was a contractor. How much further from God can you get?
Oh, yeah. We have a schedule that's going, and this board is going here today.
Yeah, that's right. And we're going to do this my way.
Uh-huh. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
And I own this company and you'll listen to me, you know.
Yeah. It's much better when I let him drive.
Yeah.
And I had to, one of the things that I learned was you have to, I had to resign from the results committee and just stick with the footwork committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have some. I have a collection of spiritual baseball cards, and they're right here. Yeah. And anytime I need one, God usually reminds me of what one of those baseball cards is.
I think one of the important things we've talked about is Jeff and I have privately is coming to the understanding. It's another thing you guys hear from me all the time. The world just beats us down. The world says again and again and again, you are not good enough. You're not bright enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not handsome enough. You're nothing enough. Mm. You know, and that's part of why we do things like turn rough on one another. It's part of why we do things like self-medicate in unhealthy ways. Mm. And the truth of the matter is that each and every one of us has the breath of God within us. That's our essence.
I guess not.
I thought you might.
Yeah. Sounds like a raga, doesn't it?
Let's get Ravi Shankar in here.
Let me tune it up a little bit. My friend Jason Carson and I and his wife Misty often get together to write songs, and we have what we call dinner and a song. And we meet for dinner, and we have some fellowship, and then we see what happens. And one day, Jason was like, let's write a country song. I said, that's all I ever write. Let's write a pop song. He goes, that's all I ever write. And so we said, let's tune our guitars weird and see what it comes out. This is where God tells me it's okay. You are not ordinary. You are not unsublime. You're not so quite contrary. You are a child of mine. It's what I hear him say. You are my unforgotten. You are not all alone. You have my one begotten, the life to lead you home. It's what I hear him say when I pray. And you are my cherished creation. And you are my greatest joy. And dying for, that's what I hear him say. Come all ye heavy laden, come all you weary ones, I will sustain my children just like a father does. That's what I hear him say. What I hear him say when I pray.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so what I think we both want to say to you, having heard that, is you too can hear what God has to say to you. This is a why not you question. Mm-hmm. If God will speak to the likes of Jeff and Bill, if God will change the lives of fallen people like Jeff and Bill, he will certainly do that for you. He certainly will. I was thinking as Jeff was singing last week, I was talking about this image issue, and I brought up the baptism thing again, as I do so often. God says, you are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. That's his baptismal blessing. Mm-hmm. And we all carry it with us. All day, every day. So why not you? Are there things that you need to change in your life? Is there control you need to give up? Is there surrender that needs to happen? Because if there is, give it up. Mm. Give it up to God. I'm telling you, from my standpoint, and I know that Jeff echoes this, I've never been better. Mm. And you haven't either. And that awaits you too. God will do that for you. The question is, why not you?
I'm going to jump in here for a sec, too. 13 years ago, I was in Biloxi, and I was in a hotel, the Grand Casino, And I hit another bottom, and I was busted up, you know. I'd been carrying the weight of the world on my shoulders. I was back to my genius and my habits, you know. And I rolled out of bed and hit my knees next to my bed on a Sunday morning, July 3rd, and I said, Lord, I want to come home. I want to come back. And there's some people describe a God that would have said, absolutely no way. You are heading down there, and that's where you're going to be, and you're going to rot for your mistakes, and good luck being happy between now and then. And then it'll be torture from then on. And I don't believe in that. And what I heard him say was, welcome home, perfect child. Perfect child. If you have that in your heart, if you feel you've been carrying something, if you feel that there's a weight that has been devouring your happiness and your peace of mind and your serenity and your hope, I invite you to do what I did, what many have done, and that is just to say, Lord, let me come home. Let me lay all this at your feet. Let me get off the results committee and then keep me on the footwork committee. Whatever's next, let me do that with joy in my heart. Yeah. And that's kind of it for me on a daily basis.
God bless. Yeah.
All right.
We got a couple things that I need to do yet, but could I ask you to just do us one more kindness? Would you play Never Been Better?
Oh, sure. A lot of you know the song, and if you've heard it before, forgive me for doing it again.
Well, I asked for it. It's my fault.
That's right. I'm sure Ken asked for that reading in that song, too.
Absolutely.
My old man, he's a real piece of work. Hard head and a blue collar shirt. Tell you jokes, makes you laugh till it hurts. Just to see you smile. And every morning's the same toast and eggs. Drops a four-door paid-for Chevrolet. I don't think he's ever seen a bad day, except when Grandma died. Anytime anyone ever asks him how he's doing, it's the same grin, the same line every time. I've never been better. Never had a day that beat the way I feel right now. No way, no how. Never been nothing to compare. The rush of just being here and living a life so good it all lasts forever. Might have been stronger, faster, and younger, but I never been better. I used to hear my old man saying grace, asking, Lord, please bless this dinner plate. Thank you for our health and another day, and if you don't mind, please bless that woman sitting there in her grandma's cane back wooden chair. Greenest eyes that I've seen anywhere, she's the love of my life. There ain't a man anywhere ever been as blessed as me. A lot of girls in this world, as far as I've seen, never been better. Yeah, never been a woman loved me just the way I was, but that's what she does. Never been nothing to compare. The rush of her being here and living love so good it all lasts forever. Might have been stronger, faster, and younger, but I never been better. Yeah, that's the kind of man he is. That's the kind of man I want to be. That's the kind of way I want to feel when they ask me. And if you ask me, I've never been better. Y'all know what I mean? Never had a day that beat the way I feel right now here at Fountain Hills Presbyterian Church. No way, no how. Yeah, never been nothing to compare with the rush of just being here. Man, it'll last so good, it ought to last. last forever. I might have been stronger, faster, younger. Yeah, I might have been stronger and faster, younger. But I never been better. I never been better. I've come a ways from the kid that first moved to Arizona and tried to get you all to drink Miller beer with me at the Village Pub. So, thanks for putting up with me all these years, Fountain Hills, and allowing me to grow into the man I really want to be. You know, I have a choice today. We all have a choice. Who do I want to be today? In nursery school, I used to walk in and she'd say, "Hi, Jeff." I said, "I'm not Jeff. I'm an Indian chief." And the next day she'd say, "Hi, Indian chief." I'd say, "No, I'm not Indian chief. I'm an astronaut." Oh, hello, astronaut. And today, I'm Jeff. I'm the only one God ever made and ever will make that's just like me. And I can't be you because everyone else is taken, you know. So I get to be me, and I love to do that, and I actually live my truth today. You know, I'm grateful for that.
And we're glad you do. And welcome home to your church.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.